Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. They sing a song at work, at church. Say, he never stops working. Never stops working. And he don't. The Lord is always progressively moving by the Holy Spirit. Only those who fall asleep, not in death, but in, you know, those that fall asleep in the day, they're unaware of what God is doing. If you don't believe in what God has given you to do, you've fallen asleep against what you do. You've fallen asleep of what's got against what God has put in your heart. But I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his direction. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that alerts people to wake up. Now, the last few days I've been doing some very interesting broadcasts. Last week, this week, this is the second day of this week. And he talked about his elect. My elect was the title. And yesterday's broadcast, I kind of went over how the Lord trains people. And so he trained me and he trains others. He trains people for whatever they do. If you're not in a training stage, you're in a working stage or a stage of rest. And the Lord uses all three. He trains you. He uses you mightily. Then he gives you a season of rest. Then he starts training you again. Now, when the Lord is training us and helping us go forward, that's because he's always moving by his Spirit. He never stops. Never stops working. He never stops. Never stops working. We go to sleep at night, he's still working. Sometime I wake up in the middle of the night and he starts talking about what he's doing. And I thank God for the miracles. I had a dream about Kenneth Hagin last night. And I thank God for that. He never stops working. And so I know I've been made aware by the Holy Spirit of every individual's potential. So I try to encourage people. When they're doing what's good, I thank them for it. I let them know that I appreciate it. And it's because I know that what God can, it's the work of God is a beautiful work. And I love to see people come to life and do it. You know, in a swimming pool, when people go underwater, you can't talk to them. But when they rise above and come above water, you can talk to them. And some people are rising above in the spirit. And you can see it, and you let them know you appreciate it. Go forward. Don't use the enemy's tactics. Sometimes the enemy bombard people with his tactics, and it takes attention away from what God is doing to the point that they don't see it. One is competition, along with Cain's jealousy. You know, we talked about that. See, people that fall into these traps don't realize it. I used to wonder, why don't people follow God? It's so easy. It's so much better. You know, it's like I came up to get some air in the spirit, basically. That's when you go in God's presence. Then when you come back and work on the earth, it's like going underwater again. In other words, we're surrounded by all forms of darkness. Some that we're aware of and some we're not. But when you keep going in his presence, you start seeing things. You start seeing possibilities. You start seeing what others can do, what you can do in the spirit. And you're being made aware of it. And I assume that when people love the word, that the same thing happens for them. Sometimes it does in spurts. My pastor talked about faith accidents. Sometimes people go in the presence of God and they, oh, it's wonderful. And they just enjoy the Lord. And then they have to go back and into the works of this life, raising children, changing diapers, working shifts, 8-hour shifts, 9-hour shifts, 11-hour shifts, sometimes a double. And those things take your attention all day. And then the frustrations that others have all day. And then the frustrations that you may come across all day long. Until you forget the wonderful conditions in the presence of God. So, I did something bold when I was young. I went in God's presence and I didn't feel fear. I felt rest. I felt powerful. I felt like I could do anything. I felt charged. And I said, Lord, this is how I want to feel when I'm at work, when I'm at school, because I was in school in those days. And wherever I go, this is how I want it to be. I want to live in your presence just like I am in this prayer room. We had a prayer room at that church. Refuge Temple wasn't, it used to be a Presbyterian church, and it had a beautiful prayer room. It had red carpet in it. And we used it for a prayer room. I don't know what it used to be, whether it was a pastor's study, but it was big. I mean, you could have basically have church in there. You could have a Sunday school class in there easy and have about 30, 40 people in there. But we used it for a prayer room. And when people wanted to receive the Holy Spirit out the church, they'd go in their prayer room and worship God until they spoke in tongues. And so it was a good thing. That prayer room was charged. It was full of, a lot of faith happened in that prayer room. I got answers in that prayer room. But I also went in the prayer room of the Lord. I was in that prayer room, but I went in the presence of the Lord. And I said, Lord, I don't want to leave. I want it to be like it is out in the world, just like in this prayer room. I said, then I, you know, now God is big. We ask him for things on our level. But I went beyond. I said, Lord, I want you to do something for me. And I mean it. I didn't say I mean it, but I did mean it. I said, I want you to teach me how to be in your presence out there in the workforce or at school or wherever I go. I said, I don't know how to do that, but you do. And I want you to show me how to do that. And I was in faith about it. Now, faith is like turning on the lights. Once you're just like salvation. You believe God for something from the time you first believed on Jesus and to forever. Your faith is on. And it's like you're locked into it. Your faith is on. Nothing turns it off. It's impossible to turn it off if that's what you want. If you got to love something in the world to turn that off. So I told Elder Lewis, I said, you know, I asked the Lord to show me how to live in that prayer room, just like I'm in his presence wherever I go. He said, oh, you got to come down from the mountain and you got to go back down to the valley. When he talked like that, I said, no, in the presence of the Lord, I was on to something. I just decided that day, that moment, I said, I'm going to keep this and I'll never mention it to anybody until I learn how to do it. And the short version of how I learned to do it, it was a process. And I'm going to make this quick because I want to go to, the Lord wants me to do something else, I think. The short version is he taught me to love his people. Now, these are milestones in my life. And I learned to love his people. And this is a duration of time happened. Decades. I'm still learning things. But when I learned to love his people, I learned to live in his strength, not mine. See, when I talk about that a lot, when I ask the Lord to teach me to love his people, I finally understood what it meant to do it in his strength, because my strength runs out. Sometimes I don't have the knowledge it takes to do what I want to do. I have to use his knowledge, his strength. So when the Lord strengthened me to love Slim and not fight, that's when I asked the Lord to teach me how to progress and love his people. Then years went by, he taught me how to lock in the word. In other words, when I receive the word for a message or something, or anybody's message really, I can keep it, but I got to charge my heart with it, because the world system and the thoughts of this world and the frustrations of this world will siphon the word out of you. And that's why I say, pay attention. Otherwise, at any time, you can let it slip. And it'll be as if you never heard it. And you'll have to remember that you was once charged in faith in different areas. Even though miracles have happened. And you walked in it. And people can forget all of it. I mean all of it. And it'll be as if it never happened before. It'll be like a lifetime ago. And it's a faint memory. That's how bad it is when the word is siphoned away from you. So I learned how to I asked the Lord how to, why did I feel charged when he gave me a message, and by the time I preached, 2 or 3 weeks later, I have to read it off paper. And he said, the enemy's been siphoning the word off your heart. So I charge the word and I guard my heart. I know the enemy's after the word, so I don't get offended when people are just being themselves, being frustrated. The enemy has aggravated them. And I learned to get another word to counter it, so that I can forgive people, so that I can choose not to be offended, and then pray a blessing on the people. And I learned many things, and loving people is one of them. Having a heart, I learned revelations and concepts of love. How when you can, you don't have to respond unfaithfully to evil situations. You can overcome evil with good. I learned these things from about the Holy. I couldn't even put it in words good, but I understood concepts, and they were revelation to me. So I went and then he taught me to receive the word, receive the study 5-15 chapters a day. I talk about that sometime. That helped. And then the dark concepts that I live with, and you know, you learn things the wrong way and you never challenge it. And the reason is you never challenge it because everybody's doing the same thing around you. It's a culture problem. It's not selective evil. It's not that you chose to do that. If people come from, you know, it's all kind of situations. People that are very poor, they grew up poor and they had a lot of children. I notice a pattern. They're afraid. They work a lot and they hoard. They don't throw away anything. They don't waste anything. They don't want to be poor anymore. So when you visit them, they got stuff everywhere. And they won't throw it away. You look in the yard, the longer they work, the more stuff they have. And it's not neat. It's not always neat. Sometimes it is neat. Sometimes it's just the house is overcrowded with stuff. But when you talk to them, they usually come from a large family that was poor. And they used to talk louder because they had to get their point across. These are things people pick up, but when you spend time with the Lord, you unlearn things. You see it for what it is, and you make adjustments. Another problem: if parents were stingy, they had money, but they didn't share with their children, or they were very frugal. Then it's harder for people to believe that God is generous because their parents were not. But Jesus, if you spend time in his presence, you're going to become like him. He's the key. Watching Jesus is the key to living in the presence of God. And that's the short version. I can talk about details and details and details, but the easiest way to do this is just spend time with Jesus. Spend time with him. Ask your questions. You have to ask questions because they are important to your growth. If you don't ask God questions, you're not going to know him. And then when it's time to trust him, you're not going to know who you're not going to. You have to have a hit. Trust comes from the past. You have to have good relations from the past in order to trust anybody. If you trust an insurance salesman, it's because somebody recommended him, or something, things happened in the past. If you trust a mechanic, a plumber, a construction worker to come and work on your house and you want it right, it's because he's done good work in the past and he has good recommendations. Now people that paint houses, they show you work that they've done so that you'll know that this is who you want to work with and it'll be a good situation. So same thing with God. If you don't ask people that, the reason people don't live in his presence is because they don't know him. And the reason they don't know him is because they don't ask questions and they don't receive his word enough to get to know him. Now, the word will introduce you to him, but doing the word, you will learn him. You will be working with him, experiencing things. You sense things from, I have sensed things from the Holy Spirit and from the Father. And I know what Jesus said. And I'm looking, every day I'm looking to make things better. I expect things to get better. Now, when you live in his presence, there's no pressure. God will show you the easy way to solve every problem. Not that your life will be fantastically easy, but in with whatever you're dealing with, even if it's complicated, you don't have to be bent out of shape. That's a choice. You don't have to be overly frustrated. That's a choice. You don't have to quit. That's also a choice. You can still choose to enjoy the loving presence of God, even while the bolts are broken. Like I say that because I'm looking at Vern's van. I was working. It took me a long time to get to drill the bolts out of that manifold. That kind of metal is hard in the first place. Then it heats and cools, and it's and you have to do funny things to get it to get a broken bolt out of it. That's every mechanic's dread. And I'm in the garage doing my broadcast. So anyway, when those kind of things happen, God is still with you. You don't have to get bent out of shape. You don't have to get overly frustrated to where you don't think. Just you can still sing praise to God while you're drilling that metal out, and that hot metal is falling on your arm. So it's a choice. How tough we can be as tough as we need to be. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. I look at, you know, I'm retired now from my regular job, and now I work full time in my business. So, but I remember all the days when I had kids, I had so many things to take my attention, but I made time for Jesus because, and the way I did it, I would listen to the word while I was awake, while I was working. And that helps us to live in his presence. Now, shifting gears, we can live in his presence no matter what's going on around us, no matter who's doing what and why, because we're complete in him. You don't need a happy marriage, so to speak, to be happy. You don't need cooperating kids to be happy in Jesus. You're complete in him. You can rest in him. I just remember what Kenneth Hagin said when he was pastoring. Older pastors would say, "How goes the war?" And he'll say, "Oh, it's going fine." They thought he was in denial. But he had learned to live in the strength of the Lord. And all the problems that exist in churches, and they all have problems, he knew that God was going to give him the wisdom he needed over time. And he ministered to the people. And he ministered to the people where they were at. And the Lord gave him Ephesians eventually, and that changed everything. The prayers of Ephesians changed everything. See, knowing God changes everything. And this is the kind of revelation that I began to receive from the Lord during my storms. Now, so I said, "Lord, why?" And he recently showed me this plainly. Why don't people follow God? My message is not a bad message. Why don't people do it? And he finally showed me. It's because seducing spirits. People have received information from seducing spirits. And it hinders them from, it blinds their eyes against what God is doing. It's tradition. Now, if you study I studied from 1 Samuel to 2 Chronicles for about 3 months. And every time it take about a day and a half to finish, and I start over and listen to it again. And I did this for about every day. Whenever I get to the last of the Chronicles, I start over. And the Lord had me doing this for about 3 months. 1 Samuel, start out with Eli. Then I go all the way up to 2 Chronicles. Then I start over. Now, after that period, I saw patterns. You can trace certain conditions and sins down to one man. Israel never had a righteous king after Rehoboam. Solomon's sons, Rehoboam, was the last righteous king that they had. Now they had some that obeyed. Jehu obeyed God for a while. He did a lot against Baal worship, but then he started practicing the ways of Jehu, the son of Nebat. And you can trace all of those kings all the way down to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. They all sinned in his pattern, because he went to Egypt and learned that witchcraft. See, he fled. He was an industrious man that God chose to take over 10 tribes. Now, God, he don't repent when he choose somebody to do something. He was a good choice. He was up to that point, he was very industrious. And he was not as good as Saul was in his beginning, because he was anointed with cloth, not not oil. The prophet didn't pour oil on him, but he gave him 10 pieces of cloth. And he was the king. But he fled and went to Egypt. So Egypt still wanted to, they wanted to take Israel for a prize again. So he taught them Baal worship, basically. He came back, he put in the weakest tribes, he put one in Dan and one in Bethel. Told the people to worship instead of going to Jerusalem. And that created a heavy problem. We look at Baal worship as satanic, but remember something about Satan. He presents things to look good and easier, and he's seducing you into an evil trap. And the weaker you get, the harder it is to come out of his spider web of hatred. So it takes hatred to cross the line in the first place. So the enemy seduces people over there. And then being disconnected from the word and disconnected from the heart of God and disconnected from the wisdom of God and disconnected from the love of God and disconnected from the holiness of God, the next generation will be much weaker. They'll be easy prey for ripoff. And it'll be very difficult to get them out of the webs that they're in. They'll be angry at you for trying. So they ended up going into captivity, and Isaiah had to blind them. And Judah began to fall after Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter. That's when they started declining. I saw all of these patterns. Now, I said yesterday's broadcast, the way we do church and the way we follow the traditions, it's inefficient compared to what God would do if we fully follow him. If we fully follow him. Our expectations are very low. People are still struggling just to be healed. At this point, after what what Oral Roberts did and Kenneth Hagin did, people should be getting healed in the kindergarten classes. And sometimes they do. The little children should be laying hands on people. And every Christian, adult Christian, should be laying hands on people and getting results. This is something that we have. When people are not asking questions, because the Lord is waiting. He told me, I said, Lord, you knew I needed to know this a long time ago, my business problems. I said, why didn't you show me a long time ago? And he said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. It's one or the other. What are you leaning to? What are you focused on? And why? Why do ministers and pastors and preachers and evangelists try to do what the predecessors did only? If you watch Jesus, he'll take you far beyond them, but he'll give you the revelation to go with it. He don't just tell you to do something. He tell you to do something and he'll train you. You'll run into problems and you'll say, well, Lord, what? That's what David did. Lord, why is there a drought? Well, Saul broke covenant with the Gibeon. Now, how would he know this? It wasn't his fault. He inherited a problem. So when things are not going right, when they're not going according to scripture, that is a problem. It is solvable. And when you have unauthorized problems, you're supposed to ask the Lord why. You're not supposed to be having this kind of problem. Why does this problem exist? All your problems are like, it's like the gauge on your car. The indicators. If an oil light come on, you know you got a problem. You know to pull over and save your motor. If it runs hot, you notice, hey, I got to find a safe place to land. I got to pull over and let this thing cool off before I melt the motor. Now, some people try to go home and they fry their motor to the point it can't be fixed. Or it'll be, the longer you drive it, the more it's going to cost you to fix it. And I can go through all the process. If the oil light comes on, it's not getting enough oil. It's going to start at the crank. It's going to wear that crankshaft out, and it can gall the block, and the block won't be any good. And it's going to start, and if it starved the cams, you're going to need cams. They're hard to come by now. In other words, when you have unnecessary, when things are going wrong, what's going on? Just go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him. You don't have to get in people's face. When your children are going through problems, talk to them about it. But first, talk to the Lord. Lord, how do I help them? Find out what's going on. Then take it to, don't try to use your brain all the time. Use His. Use His strength. And ask for wisdom. And pray over you. I've done this. And it works. My son got upset with me one time. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, don't call him. He's going to call you. He told me what to do. And I did. And everything worked. And the Lord dealt with him on His end. And then I dealt with him on my end. And it worked. And my son loved God. He got through the teenage years. And we have a good relationship. So now, when you have problems, why not involve God? He has so much to say. If we wasn't in a dirty world, we wouldn't get dirty. It would be easy to, things are working against us all the time. And what we expect is too low. We need to be looking at the Lord. If we follow Him, Lord, what's the next phase of my ministry? What do you want me to do? And whatever He say, just do it. It could be as simple as study the Word, pray more. You know, the Lord told me to do as many broadcasts as I can. So I used to do one on the way to work, one on the way home. And I said, Lord, something ain't right. All my broadcasts sound alike. I went to work the next day, and Brenda came, bless her heart. She said, Thurston, the Lord told me your prayer bank is low. I said, thank you. I knew what to do. I did a broadcast on the way to work. I prayed in the Holy Spirit going home. Easy fix. And I studied, I studied whatever God prescribed for me. I pay attention to Him, talk about it. And I pray in the Holy Spirit randomly. Most of my praying is listening to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He's doing something. I know for a fact that He's always working. Never stops working. Always working. Always doing good. Finding people that will hear Him. And I trust Him. So He told me some things that's my part to do. And then He told me what He would do. Now He can't do what He's going to do unless I do what I'm